are listening to Sheep Might Fly, a podcast of serialised fiction written and read by Tansy Rayner Roberts. We are continuing with Dead Queen Walking. Chapter 22. Happy Birthday, Princess Charming. As birthday galas went, this one was pretty swish. There wasn't much for a royal hound like Dennis to do but stand around, look pretty, and be prepared for anything. Prince Chase and Prince Cyrus were on their best behaviour, which meant plenty of flirting with the younger guests while avoiding the well-wishes of their parents' pompous older friends. So basically, they were doing their job. Dennis was pretty sure that some of the prince's friends had spiked the punch, enough to make everyone a little merrier than expected, but he wasn't bothered. They deserved to cut loose a little from time to time, and they never took it too far. Really, this was a dream job. Princess Camilla swept past, in the arms of one of the foreign princes brought in to catch her eye. This one, something of Zix, had a sparkling smile and a swishy ponytail, and Dennis had no objection to him romancing the princess if he had an eye for it. Earlier in the evening, the same Prince of Zix had seemed far more interested in Princess Camilla's twin, Prince Camden. Dennis seethed a little over that one, but managed to conceal his inappropriate jealousy. After all, he'd always known that his crush on the youngest of the princes would come to nothing. This party was arranged marriage central, and a hound from Mount Nowhere wasn't on anyone's list of most eligible. The big excitement of the day was the coming announcement about which of the elder Princess Charming would be officially named the heir. Prince Cyrus, older than his brother by a few minutes, had made a killer move 2 months ago by securing the witty and charming Princess Lorana of Tharm as his betrothed. Chase, never one to back down from a challenge, had announced his own engagement only a week ago to his cousin Serena, Countess of Argyle. By all accounts, the King and Queen of Charming adored both of their clever, beautiful prospective daughters-in-law equally. Neither prince had put a foot wrong PR-wise in months. It was going to go down to the wire, surely, as to which of them was considered the best possible future king. Dennis wasn't worried. There was never much in the way of drama around here. They'd sort it out, as they always did. Corporal Jack approached him from the side of the room. Was it shift change already? She looked more serious than usual, her body language tense. Something wrong? Dennis asked her. As she reached his side, he realised she wasn't just tense, she was miserable, devastated. He'd never seen her so... Jack, what is it? She set her shoulders back, as if preparing to be disappointed. Dennis, what do you remember... Do you remember what happened to Ziggy? Reality shifted around him, and he stared at her in dawning horror. Oh, shit. Jack had spent most of her life in the pockets of the Castle Charming royals. Even before she took on the job of a royal hound, she was always trailing after the Princess Charming, protecting them from harm. She would admit it to no one, but there was an argument to be made that Prince Chase was her best friend. She had seen this family through misery and torment, through unhealthy life choices and drunken parties. She had seen it all. She had once genuinely thought it impossible that Chase and his brother Cyrus would survive to adulthood. When Camilla did her vanishing act, Jack had thought it highly probable that no one would ever see the princess again. And if anyone had ever asked Jack what she would sacrifice to see those ridiculous, spoilt, unreasonably pretty royal kids happy and reunited in a whole loving family, the answer was a lot. Though, of course, she would never admit it. After Ziggy, Princess Ziggy, another bloody princess, of course this was Jack's life, made her wish, and the world irrevocably changed into a perfect happy ever after, if that was what you wished to call it. Jack experienced about 10 minutes of blissful ignorance. Her life, after all, had barely changed. Here she was, still a royal hound, protecting the family of Castle Charming, as it should be. But those cheerful, laughing princes with their relaxed shoulders and apparently no hidden booze flasks, they were not her boys. The king and queen, all golden and shiny, without worries or weapons, they were not Jack's rulers. It was wrong. Her whole body screamed out to her that it was wrong. And then the Prince of Zix danced past her in a haze of jasmine perfume, strong enough to make Jack sneeze. When she opened her eyes, she remembered. Princess Zee, freaking out and full of regrets after her failed attempt to pull off the Midnight Princess routine so many months ago. Cadet Ziggy, wild-eyed and pumping with adrenaline as she played her first game of rookery as the winter snow began to fall. Zig, Jack's partner and friend, always reliable, devastating with a sword in her hand, laughing at Dennis's jokes. A hound. Ziggy, a princess once more, her face solemn as she wished for a happy ending no one else had asked for. Damn it all. If Ziggy was what Jack had to give up, it wasn't fair. None of this was fair. Ever since her mam told her that to live in the castle, she would have to pick a job and be better at it than anyone else, Jack's entire life had revolved around duty. She gave up sleep and peace of mind and any sense of a private life to do her job, to keep the royals safe. Looking around this happy, perfect birthday gala, she knew that it would be selfish to burst their bubble, to wreck this pretty dream that Zee had somehow managed to build for them out of fairy magic. But damn it, Jack was overdue for some selfishness. Just this once. It's not real, she told Dennis after they withdrew to the library for some privacy. The castle was wrecked. The people... She didn't just tidy up after us. She changed our history into some flawless storybook version. Dennis had said little since Jack pulled him aside, but he nodded now, looking as grim as she'd ever seen him. I can remember both versions, if I hold them carefully in my head. Camden, Kai. He had tattoos all down his arms last we saw him. Camilla, too. Her Highness, I mean. They never had magic in this world, said Jack. She was so relieved that Dennis had his memories back too, once she jolted him with the truth. Did that mean they hadn't lost their old world entirely? Was this an illusion or a real new history going back decades? But what's happened to Zee? You know what happened to her, said Dennis gravely. That was a big wish. The biggest she could come up with on the spot. There's no way they didn't get her. She's one of them now. That's how they turn humans into fairies. Jack knew that. Of course she knew that. But hearing it come out of Dennis's mouth still felt like a punch to the gut. But if we undo this, then we'll be back where we started. Fairies invading the castle. At least we can fight that. Can we? I was a statue, Jack. They never even let us in over the drawbridge. I can still feel the coldness that came from being transformed into stone. So what are you saying? She challenged him, her voice rising. You're just going to give up on Kai, ignore the man you love, and just carry on like none of that ever happened? I don't know, Dennis snapped back. There was a click nearby. Prince Camden, Kai, stood looking at them. What they had heard was him closing the library door behind him. How long had he been there? Jack stared at him, breathing hard. Kai was perhaps the most transformed. His hair was all swoosh, like he'd allowed years of royal hairdressers to have their way with him. He had a poised elegance about him and a guarded look on his face. He was wearing jewels, emeralds at his throat and buttons and cuffs, like he'd never even thought about how much they cost. Dennis stared at him like a drowning man watching a rescue ship approach. I've never seen either of you leave a formal event while you're on duty. Prince Camden, certainly not Kai, said in a clipped voice. Must be quite the catastrophe. Nothing we can't handle, Your Highness, said Dennis. Prince Camden raised his sculpted eyebrows. Sounded to me like you were discussing your love life. Ugh, groaned Jack, just kiss already. Oh, she'd said that out loud. I beg your pardon, said Prince Camden. Dennis's face flamed red. Don't mind me, said Jack, dodging for the door. Dennis, escort the prince back to the gala. I have an idea. See you later. But you can't just, Dennis called after her. Oh, but she could. No matter what reality you were in, some things never changed. Jack found Sarge at the doghouse, poring over the security plans for the gala, while drinking the blackest, grimiest coffee known to gods or cooks. You're supposed to be on duty, he told her. It's an emergency, said Jack. You trust me, right? Usually, Sarge said, his eyes thoughtful. What's up, kid? I need a candle, a bluebell candle for summoning fairies. You know about that stuff, right? He laughed in an odd sort of bark. What makes you think I know about fairies? Because of what happened to you in Palomar during the war. The Sarge blinked, and Jack realized her mistake too late. What war? Oh, crap, she said, miserably. Of course. Your history changed too. Sarge was looking worried now. Jack, you need a holiday? No, she said. I need to find a fairy. He shrugged, looking less bothered than he should about his favourite corporal apparently cracking up in front of his eyes. I mean, I hear they live at the bottom of gardens. It was too much to hope that the grotto still had their old fairy summoning kit. It was empty, as if no one had used it as a secret meeting place in years. Jack stood over the pool and shouted herself hoarse, calling for Foxglove and Bluebell and even Clover, despite her suspicion that Miss Clover might now be alive and well and a human person with a real name who never broke Sarge's heart by wishing too many times. If Ziggy was a fairy now, she would have another name. She might not even know who Jack was. That made her heart hurt. It made her want to punch things. How many flowers did she even know the name of? Surely the fairies ran out eventually and had to start calling themselves things like Dockleaf and Random Pond Pebble. A memory struck her of Zee teaching her to pronounce Zix properly because it bugged her the way that everyone in the castle got it slightly wrong. Still, I'd rather be from Zix than have them go around calling us the Gunpowder Isle or the Jasmine Kingdom, she had confessed, wrinkling her nose. The jasmine you have here isn't even like the flower we have back home. It smells the same, though, like funerals and sadness. One thing Jack knew about fairies was that they had weird senses of humour. Jasmine, she said aloud, in a voice that wavered in a thoroughly embarrassing way. Miss Jasmine? Are you there? Oh, Jack, said a voice, familiar, disappointed. Jack whirled around. It was Zee, perched up on the ledge overlooking the grotto. Her dark hair swung beneath a spiky veil of twisted white flowers, and she had a look on her face, calculated disinterest, like she was trying to decide which leg to pull off a spider. A fairy. It was all true. Zee was a fairy now. Thanks for listening to Sheep Might Fly. We now only have 3 chapters left to go in this epic fairy tale novella. You can sign up to my author newsletter for updates. Follow me on Twitter at TansyRR. Find me on Facebook at TansyRR Books. And if you like this podcast, consider supporting me at Patreon. See you next week.